Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Charles Spurgeon said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." Have you ever experienced the weakening effects of anxiety in your life? Are you desperate to win your battle against anxiety? Do others make you feel guilty for taking medications that help you get through your day? Or do you somehow feel weak for needing outside help? Could you use a dose of humor, maybe some personal stories to deal with shame and openness? How about this? Would you like to really talk back to your doctor? Would you benefit from simple tips for regaining sleep? What about wanting to know how to keep multitasking from making you go crazy? You need a couple simple tricks for calming your nerves while driving? Are you desperate to forsake fear as a life partner? Would you like to stop thinking the world is about to fall apart? Could you use a few simple spiritual devices to help remove the pressure from everyday living? If you've ever wanted to know an answer, and maybe some cues, some tips, some practical things, well, today's show is perfect for you. And our guest is not only renowned, but part of the renown is his ability to connect with people on a very personal basis, one-on-one, heart-to-heart, as you'll experience that today. We here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we exist to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. We want you to know how much Jesus loves you, no matter what kind of anxiety you might be facing right now, whatever it is that you might be going through, whether you're on an upswing in life or you're in a really, really low down point in life, or maybe somewhere in the middle, for you to know that God loves you and he knows you and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And he's made that possible by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and mine and our guest. He shed his blood on that cross. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And the living Christ calls you to himself today, even in the midst of anxiety. Pastor Ralph Moore, well, he has a reputation for making the Bible easy to understand. I can say that firsthand. I've experienced that just by listening to him in person and, of course, on the radio. He communicates deep spiritual truths in clear and often humorous language. He's easy to listen to, but you always go away chewing on what he said. He's the founding pastor of Hope Chapel Kaneohe Bay. He and his wife, Ruby, also planted Hope Chapel Hermosa Beach in California. And under his leadership, the Hope Chapels have multiplied to more than 700 churches located on six continents. Pastor Ralph has also traveled extensively, teaching pastors and leaders around the world how to effectively make disciples that multiply new churches. He has two children, Carl and Kelly. That's Pastor Carl Moore and Kelly. And three grandchildren that light up his life. He's the author of several books, including Let Go of the Ring, Your Money, How to Multiply Your Church, Starting a New Church, Prayer, Dare to Ask, and his new book, Defeating Anxiety, which is the topic of our program today. Pastor Ralph, welcome to our show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Pastor, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Portland, Oregon. I'm pretty old. I graduated from high school in 1963, so I was there when it wasn't a very big town.
What was it like growing up in Portland, Oregon?
Kind of a leave it to beaver thing, you know. Yeah. Everything was safe. The big discussion that we'd get at school was, do your parents lock the door of your house or not? Because a lot of people didn't in those days. And, you know, I remember taking a school bus home and having to walk another three quarters of a mile. And oftentimes it'd be after dark and safe. Just felt really, really good. I grew up in a church, big church. We were sort of the bad boys of the church. There were seven of us that hung out, and I'm the only one that never went to jail out of the seven. But it was a good life growing up in Portland, Oregon.
Who influenced you most?
I think the person that influenced me most growing up was a youth pastor I had, a guy named Ken Hyde. And I remember, for some reason, when I was in high school, I was asked to give a little talk in front of the youth group, big youth group, big church, big youth group. And I was scared out of my mind. I got up there and I just preached my guts out. And afterwards, he pulled me aside and he said, you know, you need to be the same person in front of people that you are when you're just talking to people. And it marked me. It's probably why I'm the way I am. You know, I always kind of make jokes about I'm not a real hot speaker. I don't glow in the dark like some people do. But I just decided if I'm going to talk to people, I'm just going to talk to people. And so big influence that guy was. A lot of integrity in that man.
So what was it about him that impacted you?
There were really three things. That conversation is a huge thing for me. But leading up to that, he got me in the Bible. I didn't do this for many years, but as a kid, I did this. Now I'm back at it, journaling. And we did a daily devotion thing. It had a real corny name. It was kind of thing that you almost felt embarrassed doing. It felt effeminate, in fact, the tool that he picked up. But it got me writing down scriptures that were important to me and writing my prayers and then dating the answers. And I date the prayer and I date the answer so that I could look back when I was stressing out and see that God did, you know, pretty important things in my life. And that became a foundation to my life. The third thing that happened was a discipline issue. There was a bunch of us, like I said, that were a little rat pack, and we called ourselves the seven local church bads. And one guy blew up a toilet in the church one time. And they took us to Disneyland from Portland, Oregon. They spoiled us. Several of my friends got arrested for sneaking in rides, and they were rich. They didn't need to do this. It was just, you know. But one time he called everybody's bluff. A couple guys were throwing soda cans in the 1960s were made out of steel. And we were on the freeway on a bus trip someplace, and these guys were throwing soda cans at cars out the window. And he told them, one more time, you're off the bus. And they tested him, and they found out. And they hitchhiked home. And the guy lost his job over it. The church let him go because he had tangled with some of the wrong people in the church, the kids of the wrong people. But I just, you know, all of us, including the kids that got thrown off the bus, that got our attention really, really good. And everybody came away respecting him. And we were all angry that they fired him because we thought he did the right thing, including the guys that got thrown off the bus thought he did the right thing. So, you know, it all still comes back to integrity, I think, taking the word of God and then really living it. And to me, this integrity, the unifying of the way I walk, the way I live, the way I talk, putting it all together and just being the person God made me to be.
About how old were you at that time?
I think I met Ken when I was 15 and he left us when I was about 18. I remember sitting in church and I had my first real job. And the day that they kind of sent him off to a small church someplace and they took an offering for him. And I remember sitting in church and I had $20 in my pocket, $20 bill, and I had to get through the week in terms of gas and all that to get to work. And I was sitting there praying, oh, God, I wish I had $5 so I could put it in the offering. And I got to 20, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, if you had $5 and you put it in the offering, what would you have left? I go, nothing. And, well, if you put the 20 in, what would you have left? Nothing. And so I threw the 20 in, and actually I had 75 cents to get me through the week. Got food, gas, whatever. You know, gas in those days was like, you know, 39 cents a gallon, but still, And God did a series of miracles in my life that week that just saw me through. And those were the days. And those are kind of the days that start to, I think, really form your adult behaviors and your adult attitudes toward life.
What are you most passionate about? I mean, okay, there we are, 18 years old. Time has passed. And in the middle of that time, you know, we're talking 700 plus churches, moving to California, moving to Hawaii, writing books, speaking at conferences, seminars, more books, and a growing ministry. And here you are today, Pastor. What would you say in this season of your life, what are you most passionate about?
Planting churches, multiplying churches, and making disciples. I just got off the phone this morning. I'm traveling in January. I travel every year from pretty much January to July, and it's always in foreign countries, and it's always places that are poor enough that they can't afford to fly me there. I have to raise money, and then the other thing is it has to be a movement. I was in Cape Town, South Africa last year with 25 people, flew halfway, the furthest you can go on the planet. But it's 25 turned on, lit up guys. I was in touch with them this morning by email. They're getting ready to launch a bunch of churches. And today I'm booking a trip to Bangkok and to Kathmandu, Nepal, and to Rangoon, Burma, Myanmar. And the guys in Nepal and Burma that I know, because I've been there three or four times, every pastor has been put in prison at least one time. But these guys are multiplying churches. They're not doing it with seminary. They're doing it in their local churches. And that's really kind of what got me going. You know, as a young man, I was helping a guy. When I was a kid, I grew up in this really large church, but all the other churches were small. And most of the pastors that I knew from youth camps and stuff like that, they were working in a gas station or something to make a living. And so when I said yes to God, that's what I thought I was going to do, is pastor 40 people and do whatever. But I thought, you know, one day I was pulling weeds in a churchyard. Our church had gotten a new building and a new old building we bought. And I was up there helping pull weeds. And I was singing this song under my breath, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And my prayer was that 1,000 people would accept the Lord in my lifetime through my ministry. And then I started thinking how to do it, because I was a real shy kid. And the thought of being a pastor was, it's like, I'm not going to be a very good one. And so I kind of started thinking, maybe if I started a church and I raised up a young man and he became the pastor, and then I went down the road and started another one, I could do that 5 to 7 times in my life. And so my goal was I could leverage the limited gifts that I had. And that became the spark that set off almost by accident. A few years later, we'd started a church. We were about 125 people. And 25 of them wanted to go off and start a new church. And those are the days when you had to go to seminary. And I told the guy, you can't do it. You're a carpenter. And a couple of weeks later, we started rethinking it. And we sort of fell into planting the first church. And here we are 700 churches later. And so it's really where I was at. I was 19 years old when that thing happened, you know, pulling weeds. And it was, you know, understanding I could multiply and leverage what God gave me if I would invest in another person. So to me, probably the simplest, shortest answer is making disciples is the big deal to me.
Pastor Ralph Moore, you know, sometimes in life we look at heroes, we look at mentors and people that you might know them personally, or you might know them from a distance because you saw them, or you read about them, or you read something that they wrote. And when you look upon leaders, you look at them and they're of such stature. You almost elevate them to a place where what they've done can never, even within the scope of your own mind or heart, can never be duplicated. Well, there are certain people who are, and there are few of them, God raises up people who are of grand stature, but they have a unique gift. And it's a gift of down-to-earthness, if I can say it that way, where when you hear them, they take the seeming complex or almost impossible, and they make it doable. Pastor Ralph Moore has been used by God to not only inspire, but to equip people, leaders, leaders of leaders, all over the world. And we're privileged to have him in studio with us. And going along that same theme, you know, we're going to take a quick break right now. But along that same theme, when we come back from our break, how to deal with one of the greatest issues. You can call it an affliction. You could call it a problem. You can call it a pain that we experience in our lives. And I'd say most of us, if not all of us, experience it at some point. It's this thing called anxiety. It sucks the wind out of your sails in life. Sometimes sets you aside. You don't even know what to do about it. If that's ever been you, well, you're in for a good encouragement and a good equipping today from Pastor Ralph Moore, who wrote a book, Defeating Anxiety. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Anxiety. You know, that quiver in your stomach where you don't want to try something because of fear. And, you know, basically, we're all trying to put words to the feeling, and it can really capsize us in a way and keep us from the life that we're destined to live. And today, I have a guest in studio with me who will bless you in a personal way that will, you'll say, you know what, Danny, thank you for having him in, and thank you for letting him share out of his life the difference that his understanding of Scripture and his relationship with God has made, because it's made a difference in my life today. I believe you're going to see that because of our guest today, Ralph Moore. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and if you're tuning in right now, Pastor Ralph Moore is here to share about a new book that he wrote. It's called Defeating Anxiety. You're able to get that at Amazon.com, the ebook, and get that book if you're struggling with anxiety. But as you listen, you're going to be hearing how it came about, what made Pastor Ralph write this book, and as we go deeper, I believe you're going to experience some things that the Lord will use to transform your life right now. Pastor, why did you write this book about anxiety?
Oh, the root of the book is that I went through a really, really difficult episode with anxiety. My wife was going through cancer. Our church was shrinking. We had moved to new property, and we started a couple new churches right when we did, so we didn't get the big boost of attendance, and we began to kind of flatten out, and then we began to shrink, and I'm feeling pretty old, and maybe, you know, I'm over the hill, and I had a difficult problem with an individual. It just wouldn't go away, and so there were just these things going on in my life, and then it all came to a head over a car. I was building a hot rod. I had a Corvette, and I swapped it for a Jaguar, and then my friend and I were going to put a Chevy engine in the Jaguar, and so one friend and I, we built this engine up really fast, but I could work about 2 hours on Saturdays doing the thing, and then my other friend has a shop, and he was going to help me, and we'd put the engine in, and so I get the kit, and the kit says you can do this job in 2 14-hour days. Well, I can give 2 hours a week to this project. So I realized my friend's little tiny shop, where he has to push cars in and out every day if they're disabled, and mine's going to be disabled, he's going to be pushing my car in and out of his shop for weeks. And I just thought, I can't do this to him. And that night I couldn't sleep at all. I already had been having real difficult time for sleeping for months with the other things going on. Cancer was a big one. And I love my wife dearly. And so I went a second night, no sleep at all, no naps in the daytime. I could not go to sleep. And I thought I was losing my mind. And I remember my wife calling the doctor, asking if I could come see him, our family doctor. And he said I couldn't come in for 2 days. And I started crying. I just broke down in tears like a little baby, and said, ask if it's okay if I go to emergency. And so he says, come in right now.
And you realized it was oh, yeah, more serious.
Yeah. As soon as he saw it, he brought me in, and then he gave me this little pill, and it's a tranquilizer. I went to the pharmacy, and I went in the back room of the pharmacy to get water. I took the pill as fast as I could get it. Within 45 minutes, I felt normal, and I was able to sleep. And then I stayed on the pill. A couple of weeks later, I went back, and he put me on something else. He thought maybe I had depression as well as anxiety, because a lot of people do have that. And he put me on an antidepressant, but I'm allergic to it. It made me as anxious as you could ever be. I felt like I literally was losing my mind. It was just before Easter. I thought I wasn't going to be able to preach on Easter, and I called him up, and he said, "No, just get off the pill, and you know, come back in 2 weeks." Well, then 2 weeks later, he put me on another one that made me crazy, and so I went to another doctor who said, "You're allergic to all those kind of drugs," and so I'm still using the tranquilizer all these years later, about 10 years later. And I don't think you rely on medicine 100%, but I think that you take it if it's there, and if it's necessary. It's part of a toolkit. And there's a lot of little things I've learned along the way. One of the things I cut way back on caffeine, but another is that I'm deeper in the Word than I ever was, and back to journaling again. That's really a strength. And so the reason I wrote the book, it just kind of comes out of the pain that I went through, and I want to spare other people that pain.
What causes anxiety?
My doctor says that depression is when you're living in the past, that you can't get over something that happened to you and you won't let it go. And anxiety is living in the future. And, you know, someone, you quoted Spurgeon at the beginning of the broadcast, but someone said that anxiety is where we crowd Jesus out of our future. And we just think that we're going to have to face whatever problems out there on our own. And of course, then they mount up. And we, instead of facing them one at a time, which is doable, I still have this problem. You know, this morning I'm busy multitasking. I'm trying to get a lot of things ready and getting ready to come down here. And then I had this fairly complicated agenda for this trip that I'm getting ready for. And I was back and forth with the travel agent. And I feel embarrassed because I'm really making her work and I'm putting her out real bad. And all of a sudden it's kind of, you know, I can just feel it creeping up on me. And so I had to just stop and kind of rearrange things on my desk. And I'm just going to face this right now. And then I'll face that later. And you realize the Lord's with you in it, in the moment. And it's so good. So,
you know, just talking about it, there's a salve just to hear someone talking about it.
Yeah.
And then a respected leader. You know, Pastor, sometimes I would imagine leaders love to hear you talk about it because don't you think there are certain invisible things that we put up that you're not supposed to experience yeah. if you're this or if you're that? And so it almost becomes like a charade. And that itself has its own claws that kind of attack us.
Yeah.
And people experience that. How have you seen the effect of you coming out and sharing your own anxiety and struggles? How has it affected others?
Well, let me tell you just three stories. Two are real short, and one will take a couple of minutes. Sunday, I met a lady who's been divorced for 18 years. Her husband left her for another woman. She raised her kids. Then she became ill. She's had to have her colon removed and wear a bag. And she's a young woman and very attractive. And now she's got glaucoma. She's going blind in one eye. And she's seeing a doctor. She's seeing a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist is trying to prescribe medicine. And this poor lady is feeling guilty that I'm not a good Christian if I take that medicine. And I just happened to mention it, talk about it a little bit in a sermon. And she came up to me. That sermon was for me. I feel so liberated. I it's okay, huh? And, you know, I have another story of a pastor that I know, and he's done very substantial things in ministry, and then it all kind of blew up on him. And there's betrayal. Somebody actually was involved with adultery who was a very important person in his ministry, and then it just turned into a lot of difficult times. And so he really lost it. He had a nervous breakdown, and he's been to the doctor, and he's reading the Word, growing in the Lord, but he's taking medication, and it's working. And his son gets out of seminary and starts in on him about, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's not faith in God. You shouldn't take that medicine. And so, you know, those kind of things, you know. But I was at a meeting with a bunch of Christian leaders in our denomination. There were actually 78 guys who are overseeing a whole bunch of pastors, each one of them. And they brought in Archibald Hart from Fuller Seminary to talk about anxiety. And he's written a really wonderful book. And I had stepped out of the meeting. Somebody wanted me to tape a video or something. I came back in the meeting, and he was talking about that we need spiritual support, but it's okay to take medicine too. And so I kind of put my foot in my mouth. I do this often. And I pulled my pills out of my pocket and started rattling them in front of everybody. I go, Dr. Hart, I can quote the paragraph in your book that gave me permission to take these pills. And that's exactly what happened is I was reading all these secular books on anxiety, but still feeling guilty about the fact that I was on medication. And the medication was working. And Dr. Hart kind of set me free. And so I said that. Well, later on, I was in the restroom, and a guy in the bathroom tells me, thank you for what you said. He's real quiet, you know, thank you for what you said. And I go, oh, yeah, thanks. And he goes, no, only my wife knows that I've been on medication for 3 years, and I was afraid the denomination would fire me if they found out. So I was blown away by that. I come walking out of the bathroom. There's a guy, we're in a hotel. There's a guy lurking behind a pillar waiting to talk to me. And lurking is the word. He's just, he's there
he's
laying in wait.
Out.
He's hiding out. And so he comes up and same thing. This low voice, doesn't want anybody to hear him. Thank you for what you said. And so I go, well, you know, I just talked to this guy in there and nobody but his wife even knew he was taking medication. And he goes, you don't get it. My wife doesn't know. She doesn't even know I go to the doctor. He haven't told anybody. Thank you. That day out of 78 leaders, I got 19 people coming to me or writing me notes thanking me that I had been open because they're struggling and they were afraid to be open in their situation. So that just motivates me. Everywhere I go, I rattle those pills. In fact, you know, if it wouldn't sound weird on the air, I'd get them in my pocket and rattle them right now because they're in my back pocket. I just want people to be free to not have a cloud of human-induced guilt overlay their walk with the Lord, because we just don't need that.
So you have this guilt. You're already struggling with anxiety. It would seem to me like an additional level of guilt sort of makes me more anxious.
Yes, it does.
In a situation, whatever it might be. And even as you're listening today, you might be right in the middle of multitasking, and your anxiety level might be rising very high. And this is sort of like a pause moment to recalibrate the priorities of your life. And it's not just a mental thing or a mental exercise. The Lord loves you so much. He brings Pastor Ralph Moore in studio to share heart to heart with you, like we're doing right now, because your health is very important. Spiritual health, absolutely. But your physical, mental, emotional, social, all those things come to bear in this serious matter of anxiety. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with Pastor Ralph Moore, who wrote a new book, Defeating Anxiety. In fact, Pastor Ralph, if someone wants to go and get that book as you're listening right now, how can they do that?
Just go to Amazon Kindle and type in Defeating Anxiety. It is a Kindle book.
Amazon Kindle, type in Defeating Anxiety by Ralph Moore.
And let me say something else if I can. If people don't have a Kindle, Amazon gives away software so that you can turn your computer or your cell phone, whatever, can become a Kindle reader. And so you go to the page where you find the book, and in the upper right-hand corner someplace, there'll be a little notification how you can get a free Kindle. And so a lot of people have said, oh, I want it in print, and I tell them how they can get it for free, and they're happy with that.
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ralph, and when we come back, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say anything about anxiety? How much of a problem is this issue of shame? Pastor Ralph talked about medication. How did he process that? He mentioned Archibald Hart. But how did he biblically process that? This and much more when we come back with Pastor Ralph Moore. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Hey, did you ever feel like your life was so complicated? You had so many plates spinning simultaneously. You just knew that you weren't going to be able to keep it all going. And, you know, every once in a while, one will start to wobble and you try to get that one back up again. But then one plate falls and it cracks. And then the next thing you know is another plate falls and cracks. And your perfect world of many plates is beginning to crumble and crack and make all kinds of noises. It sets you into a tizzy of anxiety. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today is Pastor Ralph Moore. He's the author of a new book, Defeating Anxiety. And you can contact Pastor Ralph at facebook.com/Ralph Moore Hawaii. facebook.com/Ralph Moore Hawaii. And if you're tuning in right now and you're saying, hey, I caught the tail end of that last segment, can I get the rest of the show? Can I listen to the show in its entirety? The answer is yes. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org and you can get this podcast for free. But I would say this. Don't only keep it for yourself and listen to it. You could use it as an email link, Facebook, Twitter. Send it to someone who is struggling or needing a boost because of anxiety. And be a blessing to them as well. And use this program as a tool. You can find that at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Pastor, you talked about anxiety and medication. And what does the Bible say about anxiety?
Well, the Bible says in one place, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And when you unpack that it's powerful words. And when you get into it, it's really, really where we need to be. But on the other hand, sometimes we stress out to the point where it's almost like we can't pray. And we worry. One of my favorite scriptures is in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. And again, that if you're under the pile, that can become very, very, very difficult. You know, the psalmist cries out and asks God to search my heart and know my anxious thoughts. And then he says, see if there be any wicked way in me. And so I think one of the places you start is confession. You know, you look at your anxiety and you need to separate. Is there something I'm doing that is, where true guilt is involved? You know, a lot of people are feeling false guilt because they're taking medication or seeing a doctor or whatever. But true guilt, I mean, moral guilt, I'm sinning against God. That's going to cause anxiety, and it should cause anxiety. So we need to get rid of that in the first place. And then I just think that we need to, next move is to really gain ground spiritually. You know, I looked at my life when I had the blowout. I'm 67 years old, so it's 10 years ago. I was 55, 57, something like that. And I thought I was actually probably closer to the Lord in just in terms of raw hunger when I was a 17-year-old kid, because I was getting to know the Lord. And then after you get to know the Lord and you really know the ins and outs, and especially as a pastor, you know the Bible backwards and forwards, and you become a little bit jaded. And so I needed to kind of come back to that really raw place with God. And And so I've been really into journaling a lot. I do it on my phone now, and I find actually as I'm journaling my thoughts and the things that the Lord's given me, that's really how come I ended up writing the book. And so much that I was writing in my journal, I just started thinking about this could, you know, this could help somebody else. And but so it really starts to me with you know, casting my anxieties on the Lord and all that. But and I think there are other practical things. I think it's there's a balance. You know, I think there's a reason that Paul traveled with Luke, who's identified as a physician. He's not identified as a former physician in the Bible. He's identified as a physician. And Paul gives hints about his thorn in the flesh. And we get, you know, one place he talks about, you'd have taken your eyes out and given them to me. Another place he tells the Galatian people that you came around me and you ministered to me and you supported me. And so I think he had physical woes. And I mean, certainly all the beatings that he took and all that, he'd have physical problems. But So I see the blend here of my spiritual life. I see my physical life, being willing to see a doctor and get some help there, and then I just see the choices that I make, the things that I do. You mentioned a couple times multitasking. I used to be so excited about, you know, when email first hit, and I'd be writing a sermon. I would do this on Thursdays. I'd write my sermon. I'd have a blog that I have to produce by Friday, and I'd be answering my email all at once, and then one of my pastor friends would call me. Inevitably, he'd call on Thursdays. And we'd be talking, and I'm on the computer doing all this stuff and really proud of myself, and he'd catch me. And he'd go, get off the computer, turn your face away, and talk to me. And I was, at that time, this was before the big blowout, I was freaking out. You know, I was just tense and uptight, and the adrenaline was flowing, but I kind of liked it. It was a kind of a pride thing. But then after I got hit, I realized multitasking is something I really need to back away from. I've backed away from caffeine. Arch Hart said something about driving the slow lane, and I drive every day from Kaneohe, so I have to go over the H3 to the H1. I lived in West Oahu, and I'll pick a lane and just stay in it. And I'll drive the speed limit a little faster, whatever everybody's doing. But I'm not going to be the first guy home. Used to be I would drive in the slow lanes, but I was one of those guys that you kind of hate because I was driving back and forth between the lanes. And I just learned some things that kind of slow my life down and make it a little more tolerable to get through this world.
How much is a problem, this problem? You write about shame. Mm-hmm. You talked about it. It's there in the book, Defeating Anxiety. What is that, the problem of shame?
You know, I think we live in Hawaii in a shame culture. When I go to Japan, which is a shame culture, I actually don't talk about guilt. I talk because most Japanese people in Japan think I live a pretty good life. There's no guilt. And they don't see a lot of guilt over sexual issues either. So they've kind of put all that aside. But shame's a big deal in Japan. And they understand the idea of death and shame, and that you dishonor somebody, you deserve to die, and that only death can reconcile and get rid of the shame. And so we talk about what Jesus did on the cross and taking away the shame that we have before God because we dishonored God. And so I think we do live in a shame culture here in Hawaii, and people are embarrassed to let on that they've got problems. I was talking to a family the other day, and the parents are elderly, and they both have dementia. They both have Alzheimer's. And the one man, single man, is going to basically have to quit his job and give his parents 24-hour care. And I'm just beating on them about, you know, put them in a care home. And someone came to me later and said, you can't do that. They live under shame. And for them to put the parents in a care home is going to bring shame on the family. And I just think, what a tragedy. This man is going to throw his life down the drain if he doesn't put them in a home. Thank God, I saw him on Sunday, and he and his family have gotten together. They're going to put them in a home. But they overcame the shame. And so, you know, wherever I go and I talk about anxiety, depression, people come to me afterwards, and shame is the cloak that they're wearing. And if we can just remove that cloak of shame and come under the searchlight of God's grace, we're going to be where we need to be.
You can find out more, and you can get this book. Pastor Ralph wrote the book Defeating Anxiety. You can get it at AmazonKindle.com. There at Amazon, you can not only, you might say, well, I don't have a, I'm not able to read it off of my device that I have. Well, Pastor Ralph mentioned that there's a way to do it. Pastor, if somebody wanted to, they don't have the proper device to do it, how can they?
The easiest thing to do is to just go to Google and put in the search terms are just free Kindle reader, and it'll pop up and tell you how Amazon will give you the software to put on your phone or on your computer, and then you'd be able to read Kindle books for free.
And you can find out more about Pastor Ralph at facebook.com/Ralph Moore Hawaii. That's facebook.com/Ralph Moore Hawaii. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, some practical steps to facilitate healing. Healing from the swell of anxiety. And what about certain things that have helped him? I also want to ask him, how would you advise someone trying to help a loved one who suffers from anxiety? That and more when we come back. Today, anxiety. Do I make you nervous when I just mention the word? Do you close off your ears and say, no, no, Danny, don't say that. I'm on the ragged edge already. Well, we're here to pull you back. Pastor Ralph Moore is here to pull you back. He wrote a book, Defeating Anxiety, to help restore health and well-being to your life so that you can experience the abundant life like Jesus talked about. There's more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hey, we need to get practical in our lives, don't you think? I mean, the ability to take complex ideas. But what difference does it make in my life today? How can I apply these things? You know, sometimes we can get great thoughts and good advice, But without application, it's hard for it to be transformational in our life. And our guest today is all about practical living and bringing the great things down so that we all can partake. His name is Pastor Ralph Moore. You know him from Hope Chapel. He's also an author, and particularly the author of a new book, Defeating Anxiety. And you can get his book at Amazon.com. It's an ebook that will really touch you right where you are in your life. How many of us at times need a boost of encouragement just to remind us that what we're going through is not abnormal. What we're going through is something that can be dealt with, and we can have that abundant life that God wants us and has destined us to live. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and Pastor Ralph Moore is in studio with us. To get this podcast, entire show, you can do it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. And like I normally say, don't just keep it for yourself. Send it to a family member or friend that you just know. Even as you're listening, you're thinking, oh, my cousin needs to hear this. My brother, my sister, my mom needs to hear this. Send this link. Let them listen to this program. It will be a blessing to them. Pastor, what are some practical steps that that you've taken that facilitated your healing?
I kind of have a funny way of saying this. One thing is just to avoid the F word, and I'm not using the F word that the other people are thinking about. The word fear. Oh. As a young pastor, I sat under a guy who kind of mentored me, and he was just really, really almost ruthless about don't use the word fear. You know, don't ever say, I don't want to do this for fear of, or if we do that, I'm afraid. And I've learned to just get the word out of my vocabulary, because a lot of what anxiety is all about, of course, is thinking about the future. And we do what's called, what the shrinks all call, catastrophic thinking. We look at the future, we look at the problems, whatever it is that we're facing, and then we immediately project the worst possible outcome. And when you do that with one problem, that's bad enough. But when you start to mount up three, four, half dozen, you're just going to become overwhelmed with this. They say that any given day, 30% of the people in America are nearly paralyzed with anxiety. They're going to work with a pain in their stomach. They're hurting. They're having a hard time making decisions. And so, to me, if I believe in the Lord, then fear becomes my enemy. And perhaps even it's a satanic messenger. Perhaps it's something demonic that's coming to attack me. And that's why the Bible says, hold up the shield of faith. And so I want to push fear out of the way. But you know, I have some other things that are just really important to me. One is protecting my sleep. I've learned that I need to set a bedtime and just observe that bedtime wherever I go. I travel an awful lot, and so I'm in lots of different time zones. And so, you know, I'll use something to help me go to sleep, but I want to get as soon as I can. I want to be in bed at 10 o'clock at night at the latest and up by about 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock sometimes, just because protecting my sleep is hugely important to the whole process. And I know a lot of people are, you know, they brag about being night owls, and they brag. I can remember when the literature that we'd read in magazines and business books was all about how people could get by with 4 hours of sleep a night, and it can't be done. Hmm. So, you know, these kinds of things are there. I read myself to sleep at night. I'm into cheap detective fiction, as long as it's nonviolent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I pick up a book and read 2 pages and start to feel drowsy. Sometimes I read 20 pages. I get through a lot of books. But it just helps me so much to make my sleep an important priority in my life. And just, you know, some other things that I think of is in terms of sleep, establishing a routine, but building routine into my daily life. I try to have it so that I go walking with my wife, and that we do that on a daily basis and same time every day. And I just want there to be predictability in all that I'm doing, because I know that I'm prone to anxiety. It's something that I'm not over. There's no way to say I wrote a book because I conquered this thing. I wrote a book because it's not over in my life, and it's a battle that I have to fight at some level. I mean, some days are really great. Other days are not so great. And so I've just come up with a few of these things. think that as you have interpersonal relationships, problems, best thing we can do is what Jesus says in Matthew 16. You got a problem, go to the person and shake it out, get it over with. And you know, he takes you through the three steps, and I'm not going to take time for that. But in the end, if the person isn't willing to change, you need to kind of get them out of your life, kick the dust off your feet, and move on. Some of these things are just so practical that they almost seem like, well, I should have known that in the first place. But those are the things that are helping me a great deal.
You know, we can know it, but we don't do it. That's the thing. I mean, you know it, and you're doing it. There's certain things. I mean, even the book, reading a book, a detective book, it's practical. It works for you. Would you say that there's a level of a certain margin where it would be advisable to say, you know, something that whatever works for you is something that would be applicable?
Yeah, whatever works for you, and then just make it a priority. Build it into your life. You know, I'm a news freak. Before the anxiety attack, the big one, I would drive my wife crazy. I'd have the TV controller, remote controller, and I'd be watching three news channels at once. Well, now I get only news I get is from the internet, and I only look at the news because I actually have bookmarked five newspapers in my cell phone, and I'll only look at the news 2 days a week. Because otherwise I get so wrapped up, and so much of the news isn't really news. It's speculation about some terrible thing that might happen. And so I've just learned some of these things. And, you know, whatever works for you works, but you got to work it.
Pastor, we've got to carry on our dialogue. There's so much to this, this glaring, glowing concern, problem of anxiety, but you're experiencing victory. You yourself are defeating anxiety, and as a practitioner of the healing that the Lord has given to you, as you work it out in your life, we need to talk more and hear more about even how we could help someone who's trying to help someone who's suffering from anxiety. Somebody listening right now may be wondering about that. Well, we'll talk further about that with Pastor Ralph, and more words of hope, words of encouragement from Pastor Ralph Moore, who wrote the book Defeating Anxiety. You can get it at AmazonKindle.com, and even if you don't have an iPad, or you can get a device, you just Google it, and there's a way in which you can convert. It's like an app to how you can actually access it. There's no reason why you can't get a hold of it. The book is called Defeating Anxiety. It's by Ralph Moore, and it will make a difference in your life. And we'll be back with more in a part two of this program with Ralph Moore. In the next few days, you're going to hear more inspirational stories of hope and faith. And this is the perfect time to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. Remember to listen in at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight weekdays. Our stories are downloadable at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Share them with a friend. Psalm 34:18-19 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Pastor Ralph Moore. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.